needed. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body, he touched my mind, he saved me just in time. And I can't help but praise his name. His name remained the same. Come on and praise him, church. Look what the Lord has done. Why don't you look what the Lord has done? Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body, he touched my mind. He saved me just in time, and I'm gonna praise his name. His name is just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, have your way up in here. Hallelujah. This morning, what a wonderful morning. I've heard all the testimonies. Only thing I have to tell you today is you better not give up. The title that I have today is Being Under the Rule of God. Being under the rule of God. That's where our power comes from. That's where our strength comes from. And today I just want to talk about the need of kingdom power. It's one of those messages that has the potential of changing your life. Acts chapter 1. Jesus is having final words with his followers. They have been walking along with Jesus for 3 years. They have seen his life. They have seen the miracles. They've seen his power. They've seen him even raised from the dead. They had a teacher who was the best, the greatest teacher. They have seen his life. They have seen his power. They've seen all. They had a teacher who was undoubtedly one of a kind. This is better than having a seminary degree. To have 3 years with Jesus, 3 years of Jesus as your private teacher. To have He made no mistakes. He had great illustrations. The greatest use of the Bible. I mean, these guys that Jesus taught, they had it all. They had everything. I mean, 3 intense years of Jesus Christ. But when it came time for him to die, they abandoned him. Peter denied him 3 times. It says they had fear of the Jews. Somehow the seminary didn't work. Somehow seeing all of the miracles, all the hearing of all about Jesus' teaching, hearing all those words that he taught them, seeing all those illustrations, listening to all those sermons, didn't work. When the church was in crunch time, because they ran for their lives. Jesus now, 3 days later, raises from the dead. He lives again. And we are told that in Acts 1, when Jesus rose from the dead, Acts 1 and verse 3, it says, he also presented himself alive after suffering by many convincing proofs. They could see the nail scars in his hand, the Bible says. He ate with them, the Bible says. One day the door was closed and Jesus was in. He walked right through a closed door. 2 disciples on the road to Damascus. Their hearts burned within them as the risen Christ shared the word of God with them along the way. They saw him alive, and now they all was convinced that Jesus is exactly who he said he was and could he do exactly what he said he could do. There is a 40-day gap between his resurrection from the dead and his ascension unto the grave, unto heaven. There was 40 days. Again, in Acts verse 3, it says, during those 40 days, he had a Bible study with them. It says he speaking of things regarding the kingdom of God, and that what we are talking about today, the rule of God. That's what we're talking about. The rule of God. He taught them how to operate under his rule. He gave his apostles the orders and instructions and guidelines and how they were supposed to operate under his rule. So now they got a Jesus Christ who died, a Christ who rose again, proving himself to be the Christ, and they got more Bible study because he taught them things concerning the kingdom. Amen. But then he tells them something a little strange. After the Bible study, after the miracles, after all the things that they saw for those 40 days by the risen Christ, he told them not to do anything until they received power. In other words, the Bible study, that wasn't going to be enough. Hallelujah. Believing Jesus Christ died and rose again, that's not enough. Having all those miracles these years, these 3 years, that wasn't going to be enough. Because you can have the best teaching. You can have the best Bible study, the best church program, and believe in Jesus Christ all you want, but when there is no power, it's not enough. What we are lacking today, personally, and I'm so glad of the best testimonies, because we have always said that we're going to see God, first of all, we're going to see his miracles that he's performing on us. We're going to see his healings. We're going to see how he's guiding us through life. We all had perfect testimonies of that. But there may be one that may be lacking. And through your testimonies, someone said we have to continue on, which is good. But there may be someone that maybe stepped away for a little while. Oh, thank you. Must have needed. Because you can have all of that stuff. But we are lacking today, the churches is lacking today, we are lacking power. What the enemy has done, he has gotten churches to think that if we increase our programs, oh Lord, we got to increase our programs, we got to increase, that will increase our power. But maybe if we do more and more, and do more. Maybe if the church do more. Maybe if I read my Bible more. Maybe Jesus says, even as I taught you these 40 years, don't go anywhere, do anything. You stay right there until I get there. Because you, when I get there, you're going to receive power. If we had more power, we wouldn't need as many programs. If we had more power, we wouldn't need as many counseling sessions. If we had more power, we wouldn't need artificial means to help us to cope. What we are lacking is power. And power comes from one source, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way in here today. Verse 8 of Acts 1 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Who is the Holy Spirit? It's not like from the days of old teachings. They neglected the Holy Spirit as being a person, being a part of of the Godhead. So I'm just reminding you as to who the Holy Spirit really is. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, because he is a spirit, you can have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that there is only one God. But it says that the one God is composed of three equal parts. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. But together, they make a one Godhead. It's like a pretzel. Y'all like pretzels? Mm-hmm. I know you used to like them when you used to go out to the clubs and stuff. And you know. You have three equal parts. You have the first hole, you have the second hole, and the third hole. But they're all tied together into one piece of dough. That is the divine nature that it ties the Father to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. God sent Jesus into the world to give a physical manifestation of who God is and what God is like. When Jesus left, sent the Holy Spirit into the world to carry out his work during his absence. He taught them, in verse 3 says again, concerning things of the kingdom of God. How to rule, that how the rule of God is supposed to work on earth through his people. How the rule of God is supposed to work through his people. The Holy Spirit is more important than you think he is. He says the power to pull off what God says he wanted us to do, will come through somebody else that I'm going to send. In John 14, chapter, verses 16, it says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. Verse 17 says, the helper is the Holy Spirit of truth. He says, I'm going to send you another enabler, one of the same kind. He will be just like me, have the same abilities I have the same powers I have. But he will represent me as I represented the Father physically during my 33 years of my life here on earth. He will represent me through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if the Holy Spirit is not delivering power, it doesn't matter that you know Jesus. They knew Jesus, but they didn't have power. So the third member of the Trinity has but one goal, and that is to connect the Christians with their King. Because he is teaching them about the kingdom, it says. The Holy Spirit's job is to link you and me with the experience of Jesus as though Jesus is physically here with you. That's his job. His full-time job is to make Jesus real for you, through you, to you, and in you. Amen. He was teaching them about the kingdom. Now watch this. Because the Holy Spirit only works if Jesus is King. Now if you have another King, Holy Spirit ain't working. You see, he is teaching them about the kingdom because the Holy Spirit only operates within that kingdom, the kingdom of God. God is rule. That's the only kingdom that he operates in. He operates in a kingdom, so if you are your own king, I'm sorry, there's no help for you except for that little bit of help that you can give yourself, and you can't save yourself. If we are experiencing powerlessness, it is because, number one, we are not committed to his divine rule. The Holy Spirit is unable to crank up because he doesn't deal like that. Not when you're in your own rule. That is not consistent with the truth. That's why he is called the Spirit of Truth, because he only operates in concert in this realm. Acts 1, verse 5, he says, For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. We are going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word baptism means to be submerged in something. Just like when we do water baptism here. We just don't dip them, sprinkle them, we submerge them under. So if you're going to experience the power, you have to go all the way under to experience the power of God through the Holy Spirit. To get his power, you have to be immersed in it. The Holy Spirit just can't be an add-on. He must be the centerpiece. I baptize you in another realm. And that realm is the realm of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into another realm. That's why when we are full of the Holy Spirit, he leads, guides, directs us in all truth. I mean throughout every part of your life. And without that, we wouldn't make it through life. Because I tell you, for the last 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit has been leading, guiding, directing me in all that was going on. Every day, sometimes two or three times a day, something was happening. I said one time before that if a Christian could see in the spiritual realm, he would never leave the house. But because of the Holy Spirit, because of the dangers outside that house, we are able to go and go in peace. Go and not be in fear. I was traveling because my grandson's car isn't running. So I had to take him to school, pick him up from school, and bring him home, and then take him to work. My son would pick him up later on that night. But he had this guy. He was, I guess, coming off the exit behind me. I'm getting ready to take an exit. It was, you're not familiar with the exit, but it has a little slight runway. Before that runway is nothing but dirt, and it was a deep ditch there. I was driving along like I normally do. Began to take my exit on the pavement like I supposed to. Normally, I don't pay attention because there ain't no fool coming back there. But the Holy Spirit told me to look in my rearview mirror and at the same time he said, hit your brakes. This fool I started to call him an uncircumcised Gentile was doing, I know he had to have been doing about 30, 40 miles an hour. One more half a foot he would have ripped my whole side off of the truck. Oh, that wasn't enough. That was only taking him to school. Coming back home. Guy had plenty of time to pull out onto the main highway. He stayed there. The Holy Spirit had me know nothing but the Spirit of God. I wouldn't have no reason to let up off the gas and look at that car. But the Holy Spirit, I'm so glad I did. I got from here to there. He decided, I think I'll pull out now. Could have been a mess. The next day, picking him up from school on the way home. No reason for me to slow down. I was doing the speed limit. I always do the speed limit. The keep a safe distance behind the car. Nowhere, no turnoff, nowhere for that car to go. And the Holy Spirit just had you to sense, or just pay attention. Pay attention. Everybody moving about 45 miles an hour. I was a good little distance from him. This fool, uncircumcised fool, Philistine, decided, I think I slam on brakes here. No brake light whatsoever. Nowhere to turn. It didn't give a signal, nothing. I said, Holy Spirit, you're really trying to get my attention every day. Oh, that will gnaw. Coming home, picking them up. This was Friday. Coming home, light was green, went through the light. Evidently, a car that was behind me, he was a good distance, I thought. Somebody had pulled in, you know, you can make that right turn on red. Evidently, they pulled on him and just slowed up. I heard all this horn just blowing. I said, what in the world's going on? I couldn't see much in my rearview mirror. I saw this red car coming up in the left-hand lane, and he was after the car that was in the left-hand lane. My window was up. His window was up so I could see it, tell. At least his passenger window was up. And I heard English language that I don't know, not accustomed to hearing that often, that loud, that much. Evidently, the lady that pulled out in front of him, he was trying to get her attention. She was right beside me, and I saw him pointing, just fussing, shaking his fist. Holy Spirit just told me, says, protect her. I wouldn't let him get in front of me to do whatever he wanted to do with her. I stayed there, and evidently he was trying to be looking at me. I didn't pay no attention to him. I didn't do it. I was riding the speed. I was my safe distance. I was cool. But I had to do something to keep him from getting to that lady. We got to another light. He didn't see her turn off. But she gave a signal, and I saw she turned. So I slowed up. The fool came by me, went speeding up the highway, in and out of traffic, looking for her. It could have been a mess. I don't care what you're doing. You better stay full of the Spirit of God. Amen. Satan has a target that's on your back. And the more, the closer you get to God, the bigger that target gets. Even in an accident, the target is there, but God will protect you. I thought about a brother pastor here, about his tire. Isn't that nowhere to go, nowhere to do? It's nothing but God to protect you. You're going down the highway. You courteous driver. I get over in the left lane because I know they're coming off. But I didn't expect them to come off the highway and go directly in front of me. Oh, Lord. I looked. It was just a deep trench. I slowed up. The young lady, she found out what she did. She slowed up. Give me time to catch up. And I just said, everything's fine. If I had run off that road, well, nothing going to stop the car from turning over. With no support there. With just a hill. No guard there. Just a hill. God is good. He's worthy. See, the Holy Spirit just can't be an add-on. It must be the centerpiece. He said, I baptize you in another realm. And this realm is the realm of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into another realm. He baptizes you into another relationship. And he only operates in that realm not outside of that realm. He says, not many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the power that you need is tied to the fact that you are saved. It is tied to the relationship of to the Holy Spirit. So if there is no connection with the Holy Spirit, the power that we read about, talk about, sing about, praise about, that power you will not have. You can come in here. See, we had to go back and get things sort of in order. We talk about you when you dot that door. Think about, look what the Lord has done. You come in here, you're praising God. But see, by praising God, giving him the glory and the praise and the thanks due him, he's connecting you with something else. Yes. He nicked with the example of Jesus when his son came. We believe in Jesus. If we believe in God, we believe in Jesus. When Jesus ascended at the right hand of the Father, he said, before I go, I will send you another comforter in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit to survive this life. There's no question about it. That's why we praise God. Because if there is no power, and the enemy knows you have no power, so because he knows you don't have power, he doesn't mind us adding programs. He doesn't mind you doing something new. Just don't get power. He don't care if you do anything else. Just don't add power. He says, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit come unto you. And in chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all baptized in one place. And suddenly, a noise like a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. In other words, when they got dipped, they were filled. Ephesians chapter 5 and 18 put it this way: be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Greek word filled means to be under the influence of. Ephesians chapter 5, 18, it uses the illustration of being drunk. You have seen, you have been around people or someone that's been drunk, or maybe you've been there yourself. It filled you up. It was telling you what to do. He says, don't be drunk with wine, but every Christian has the right to be intoxicated. Not with wine, but with the Holy Spirit. You can drink all the spirit you want of the Holy Spirit. It controls you. It operates you. It teaches you. It gives you direction. It makes clear the word of God. He says, be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Be under his influence. So much that you act outside of yourself. Be under his dominating presence. How do you know that you're full of the Spirit? Being full with the Spirit is something that's observable. It is not a secret. It's not a theory. The Spirit is like the wind that you can't see. It's like electricity that you can't see. But one thing, you know it's working. Yeah. So it's like the Holy Spirit. You can't see him, but you know when he's working. Acts chapter 6 says, you don't have to turn there, but it says, when they said choose leaders, it says choose leaders not with a seminary degree, it says choose leaders who are filled with the Spirit. So that means I must be able to observe that somebody is filled with the Spirit. You don't have to be speaking in tongues, for I know by my observance, by the way you act, the way you carry yourself, the way you treat people who mistreated you, I know you must be filled with the Spirit. Because without that Spirit, without the power of God dwelling within you, you wouldn't be able to act and control yourself when something come against you like you do. See, most Christians, they visit the Spirit. They are not full of the Spirit. You know, they take a sip every now and then. But they are not filled with the Spirit. They are social drinkers. They get a glass of the Holy Spirit every now and then. But what they are not doing, going to do, they're not going to get intoxicated by the Spirit. They're not going to drink so much of Him that they get drunk on the Spirit. It says to be full of the Spirit. And that's where the victory is, when you're full of the Spirit. The problem is some Christians are so non-spiritual, when spiritual people show up, they get upset. They get upset when somebody makes all the decisions on a biblical way of thinking. Who do they think they are? Always bringing up the Bible, bringing up Jesus, talking about the Holy Ghost. I don't need all that to go to church. Just like you need all that. I don't need all that to go to church. We are so carnal at times that spiritual people make us angry when you're not of the Spirit. We make them angry. We're supposed to make them angry. We only intoxicated off the Holy Spirit that makes us treat you nice. And you try to treat some people nice. They don't like that. But we can't stop loving them. We can't stop treating them right. I know you met some people that I'd have made a mistake or something, and I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bump into you. They said, look at me like I'm crazy. I said, well, I'm sorry, lady. It won't happen again. So if I see you in one eye, I have to go down the next. You are full of the Holy Spirit until it's normal for us to have God's point of view on everything that we do. That is, if it's normal. It's normal for us to be full of the Spirit. It's normal for us to have the power to move, talk with power. When things don't come at us right, we have the power to resist it. When somebody offers you something that's not part of God's program, we have the power to resist it. But some people, just because you're the only one in the group, they have sometimes this, well, come on, like the girl, Jan gave a good testimony. Come on, you're the life of the party. Come on, party with us. I'm sorry, I have to be at church tomorrow. I can't hang out with y'all like this. I have a God I have to serve. I have a God to answer to. Because God has done so much for me, so much through me, that I talk to people. Like my wife was teaching, I always come up. When I'm in their presence, the reason they want me to stay, I have an influence on them. But not the influence that did they see me go to church, I have to leave early. Maybe somebody would catch on. Said God was the promise that was the reason that I was here. Now I got to have God to, if my sister can go, I have to stick to him, because you made an impact. Just by the power that holds fast your confession. We're getting there. We're going to have more power than God can trust us with and elevate us with, that everything that he does with us, some of us has been through some miracles that has transpired. You wasn't looking for it to happen that soon. You wasn't expecting it to happen that soon, but it happened. God is saying, I have people out there. You have, just like we have family members. Our family members know when we when we don't go along with everything that they do. Our family, blood family, thinks that we are crazy sometimes when they come visit, because things that we used to do, we don't do anymore. Amen. So the only thing they have to do is talk about it, try to tear us down. But I tell you, you hold firm, they'll come. If they want to hang out with you because they like you, but they don't like the course of religion that you're taking, stand your ground. They're coming over. One of them coming over. Amen. One of them going to give up that sinful life, that earthly life, and he'll come join you to worship the S-O-N Son. See, because they've still watched us. They'll watch changes that has transpired in our life. They're observing us more than you think they are observing us. When we fall down and they think you're supposed to stay down, you're not going to get up. They didn't even talk about you not getting up. But you hold fast to God, and God says, you know, how many times will he allow you to fall? 7 times 7. But we as Christians are going to jump right back up. We're going to keep holding fast, holding on. I don't care what, we may lose something. You may lose your house. You may lose your car. They're looking for you. I said, I told you, that God ain't helping them there. But you keep holding your, you know, fast. God will make a way. He always makes a way for us. Some people have had cars to break down. They lose transportation. They lost their job. And God had gotten them new ones. New jobs. Better paying jobs. New cars. Cars that would hold up under stress. And that could be a test too. Will you serve me when this thing started getting old? Will you serve me when that job says, I'm sorry I got the layoff because of some pandemic? But you stand fast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. See, being full of the Spirit is normal in how we should act. If evil people, let me read Luke. Luke 11 and 13 says, so as sinful mankind, being evil, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who asked him. Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Hold that thought. Evil people give good things to their kids. How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit for those who ask it? In other words, it's not hard to receive the Spirit. It's not hard to receive that precious gift that God has for us. See, you don't have to go crazy doing crazy things like beating your head up against the wall, jumping and yelling. He said, if you ask, I will give you the Holy Spirit. He was talking to the disciples. This is not complicated. It's not hard. In Acts chapter 2, it says, all they were doing is standing in God's presence, and they were filled. All they were doing, standing in God's presence, and they were filled. Acts 1 and 8 says, and I will end here, maybe not, but it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness. Be careful there now. And you shall be my witness. It didn't say you shall do witnessing. He said you will be witnesses. That is going to be how that is going to be how we operate. When God fills you with his spirit, however we relate to somebody else, we are witnessing. Some years ago, I was working at Philip Morris, and I said this some time ago, manufacturing center. And during that time, I was, I guess, just hadn't too long starting to work there. And, but not being too long coming out of service, as far as the football, I used to be the Baltimore Colts before I went in. That was my favorite team. But I hadn't, during a time in 16 months over NAM and coming back, and I just didn't fool with that. I just didn't get into that no more. I was thanking God how he brought me through those 16 months of Vietnam. I just didn't get into it because I didn't have the time at the time to spend reading and who's this and that number. Went away, I didn't think there were but two teams. There was Dallas Cowboys and Redskins. Because that was all when I got to work and the break, that was all the two teams. It seemed like everybody was either one, the Cowboys or the Redskins. That was back there, the Commanders now, but they were the Redskins back then. And that was it. They breathed, talked about them, they argued. One thing I listened, said, you don't have to tell them to talk. You don't have to push them to talk about their team. If they are sports fans, that is all they're going to talk about. They are going to talk about it even when they don't want to talk about it, even when you don't want to hear it. You know why? Because they have been baptized in it. They have been immersed in it. And so it just comes out. These people that did all this arguing back and forth, I know they weren't church people. If you are a Christian, you wouldn't get in heated arguments over a little petty stuff. You wouldn't be a Monday morning quarterback, coach, because that's the only time that you knew what play to call. After that was the day after the game had been played. So these people weren't, I mean, it's no wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having a favorite team. But they took it to another level. Because that is what they were thinking about. That is what they were talking about. And you don't have to be to schedule a conversation with the Cowboys and Redskins. They schedule any time they want. You don't have to schedule a time. You don't have to make an appointment to talk about it. Because that is how they roll. They are fans. And that is how your team forever, it says, you will be my witness. If you treated the Holy Spirit like that, even though you may be a football fan, but you know where your power comes from. You won't neglect going to church with a TV in your car, and the game starts at a certain time. Oh, I have experienced that before. Now, I hadn't done it, but I have known football fans. It wouldn't even come to inside. I'd be out here, go to get a glass of water, go to use the bathroom. But they're in the car watching this game on their TV. It sounds stupid now, but it happens. In Acts chapter 2, he says, they began to speak in other languages that they had not studied. Now, this is the only passage that it shows us tongues, that tongues happen, tongues when they were occurring. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about, but it doesn't illustrate it. Acts chapter 2, it shows it. So you know tongues is part of the Holy Spirit. Nothing y'all don't know about. I haven't heard. And it says, everybody spoke in different languages. Languages that they hadn't learned before, prior. Other people heard it. People on the outside, they heard it. And they heard them talking in their own language. And came to Christ. So in this case, tongues is not a language that is spoken, that is a language that is spoken somewhere on this earth. I've heard people have witnessed on different occasions, well, only maybe about twice, at another church we were part of, that someone was speaking in tongues, and a lady that was from Africa recognized that language. Said and somebody said that in another time that they spoke perfect, well, I would say perfect English, but whatever that language was, they spoke perfect in that language. There's only twice times I've ever heard that, so I know it didn't have to tell me it was a language spoken somewhere in the world because I have heard it two different times. See, Peter was scared. A few days earlier, he was scared. He said, I don't know this man. Now he breaks out saying, we are not drunk. It is not 12 noon in Acts. But this is what happens to a prophet when the prophet spoke, when he declared that God would send his spirit, and you who killed Jesus, and 3 days later he rose from the dead, you must now accept him as Lord in order for you to be forgiven of your sins. And what happens to that man? What happens to that man? He denied Christ 3 days earlier, and here it is a few days earlier, and now boldly stands up in front of the same people who killed Jesus. He stands up and says he wasn't threatened anymore. He didn't run anymore. He stood up for Jesus. Where did he get that from? He got it being filled with something he had gotten filled with God. You know that filling has occurred because you will now take your stand with God. I don't care what may happen, who may come up and say something against God and threaten your life. You said, Jesus, I'm standing up for Jesus. No doubt. Things that you used to mess up won't mess up anymore. You will have power that you didn't have before. Do things you couldn't do before because you are now filled with the Spirit of God. Peter could do things he didn't do before, even speak a foreign language he hadn't known before, because he was filled now with the Spirit. He was under control of another. God shared with me to do something. I don't know why he always uses me to do something awkward, different. And this is different. I'm going to ask the question, who here isn't filled with the Spirit of God? Don't have to raise your hand. Don't say anything yet. Jesus Christ is seated in heaven on the right hand of the Father. and he is a reservoir. We are like fire hydrants. But God wants to gush his glory out through you by the underground internal connection with the Holy Spirit, just flushing out Jesus in you, to you, and through you in every area of your life. He wants to make sure that we all have this. Before I go any further, I will give you an example. I was in a Pentecostal church, and what they commonly did, call anyone out that wanted the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And they would line you up across the podium. Then they will have a person that speaks in tongues to stand in front of the one that asking for the tongues. And what they would do is tell you first, just bless the Lord. Say hallelujah. Glory to God. They keep having them do that. And then they would tell you, this person would then start speaking in tongues, in their language. Then they would tell you to, you may hear a little bit of something odd while you're blessing the Lord. Maybe a little, it say, can be sound like a little jitterish. It says, that's it. Then once they get it, then they will go to their seats and whoever's left standing, they'll continue on. But God wanted me to do something different than that. He said it's so easy, so simple. What they did was good. No, I'm not knocking what they did. God does things in the way he wants to do them. But there must be this compassionate relationship with the invisible member of the Trinity. So you can't figure out, you can't figure him out like electricity. You can't see him. But, you know that you can't see electricity, but you know he's there. But you plug into him just by saying, and knowing in your heart, Jesus, precious Holy Spirit, I want you. I need you. I desire you. And he wanted me to do one thing. If you have that feeling in your heart that you really want the Holy Spirit, it says yours for the asking. You can have it right now. All you have to do, all I want you to do is to stand up and just raise your hand to heaven. Saying in your heart, you said, Lord, fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. I want it now. That's all you have to do. Just raise your hands up. Now, thank you, Lord. Ooh, Lord. Now what I want the church to do, all I'm going to do, all I want y'all to do is speak in your heavenly language. And all I'm going to do with y'all, I'm just going to touch it. This place is full of the Holy Spirit in here now. All I'm going to do, I'm just going to touch you. And I want you to, and just privately, knowing that you have been filled with God's precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, hallelujah.
you filled with this God's precious Holy Spirit. Just begin to praise Him softly. And tell you, you're filled with His. We could have seen him, but I see the other horse or hallelujah, God. Oh, my brother. God, thank you. He wants you filled with His, your precious Holy Spirit. Just thank Him, Lord. Just see him, oh, thank you, Lord. Hold your hand up. Hallelujah. Thank you for filling with your precious Holy, your precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your glory fill this place, Lord. Hallelujah. Let your glory fill this place. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Isi magorosi mama hara desi. Ha sediba. Isi. Have you received it, baby? Have you received it? Isi magorosi mama hara gaza sedi dia mama hara didi. Just praise Him.
I can't hear you.
I know. I'm just speaking in my tongue. I just want you to say, just say, praise the Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for filling me, Lord, to overflowing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. It's going to change. Don't worry. Don't worry. You got it. You got it. You got it. It's going to change. Hallelujah. You see, my God, I'm going to hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Let me tell you something. I was in one of those lines. And they stayed a good little while. But you know when I got? It was the next day. I still prayed and thanked God for it, even though I had gone home and the thing was weighed on my mind. I was on the way to work. And I says, Lord, I know you filled me with your precious Holy Spirit. And I was on 64, getting ready to go on 95. And I started speaking. I said, oh, my Lord. And I started speaking and didn't stop until I pulled out. You know, people think it's going to make your Holy Spirit going to make you act unseemly, going to make you out of your wits. And He kept my mind on what I was doing when I was driving the speed limit. But I kept seeing, I could see where I was going, know where I was going, but I was speaking up tongues. And when I got to the parking lot of Philip Morris, I looked like I had to wash my face. Just keep believing that you received it. And you shall have it.
Amen.
Oh, Heavenly Father, right now, in the Spirit. Oh, Lord, one thing. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thanks. People, if anyone here is suffering from high blood pressure, even though you're taking the medication, you still have high blood pressure, just stand. Anyone here that you have trouble with blood? What do you call it, Linda? Blood? You with the blood? It has to do with your blood sugar. Yeah, there you go. High blood sugar. And it hadn't been normal. It's always going up, down. You still have to, even though you're taking your insulin, you're still having problems trying to keep it stable. God says, pay attention to it every day for the next week. Because He is going to bring it, He's going to make it normal. Okay, you may be seated. I'll tell you. I was suffering from high blood pressure. One time they said, the doctor said that your blood pressure is high because, you know, they had raised the limits because I was older. Then again, about a month later, they put it back down because that wasn't right. Taking the medication, my blood pressure stayed in the upper 40s, low 50s, and sometimes it'll box the 60s. It was too high. I knew it was too high. The medicine wasn't working. Went to the last time I got a new doctor in, and they told me, says, you know, your blood pressure is gonna be all right. She said, what I want you to do is mark every day for 7 days. Now, she had me to do it for 2 weeks. And I did. The same time in the mornings, and I checked it in the evenings. I did that every day for 2 weeks. I think I only missed, and I wrote it down. I told her, I'm sorry, I missed this day. I was doing something else and just forgot about it. My blood pressure went from the lower teens, from 60. Last time, the highest number I had on that one was like 163 over 80-something. And Linda can attest to this. My blood pressure every day went from like 119, 123, 125, 130. Didn't go to 130, but a couple of times. Then it came back to 125, 129. This is what I prayed, because it was a common thing. I says, Lord, can I add this? It's a testimony. It works. I didn't have the blood, but I did it for my wife. That's with taking insulin, and a lot of people I know take insulin. But just check it for the next 7 days. Amen. And come back here with a positive testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. I just thank you for the Holy Spirit that's living, having your way in this place. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your people, Lord. I just thank you for the congregation, how we already on the road for you bringing in more people that they may come, and they're hearing so much is going on because we have personal testimonies of the miracles that you will bring. We have personal testimonies that I don't care how bad the situation is, we're not ever leaving you, Lord. And I just thank you for them right now. Let's pray your love over them, Lord, and thank you for your Holy Spirit leading, guiding, directing them in every part of their life from this day forward, Lord. And I thank you as we keep you in our hearts as the number one person in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.